I dropped out of school. I was jobless. I have a reputation for being a mad person anyway.
Right, so that wasn't your butter.
It's like, oh, like if you want, fine, come correct.
An investigation for the BBC, Sex for Grades, took the nation by storm. How did your lecturer start making your life difficult?
He was like, why are you avoiding me? Do you think I want to fuck you?
Hey.
Eh? Are you finding that my girlfriend, he's married, mind you. I had a friend who I'd gone to talk to. He was like, eh? It's not as if you're a virgin. Like, why are you disturbing me? Go and sleep with him, I beg. Worst of all, I did not see any of my results. It's like when one lecturer is disturbing you, that right. One lecturer has power over that one course.
It led to immediate consequence for the lecturers she exposed, and it led to actionable change in the legislation protecting young women and students across the country.
We led the investigation. I did a lot of work. I gave my heart, my soul, and even my body.
Around the same time that she was one of the leading voices in the End SARS protests, now, that led to really dark times for Kiki.
I was hiding, if anything, because the Nigerian government was trying to...
Right. So you were hiding because you were under threat because of End SARS.
I was under threat because of End SARS. Right. I mean, I had a house. I even had two flats that I was paying rent for.
Right.
But I was homeless because I wasn't living in my house.
And eventually having her heart so broken that she had to leave her country. How she survived such a dark time of anxiety and depression. I'm sorry. There were a lot of tears in this episode because she was confronting some of these things real time for the first time, you know, on camera. And why she thinks that her story with that lecturer who began this whole thing in the first place in Uniben has not ended yet. Kiki Modi with Chude today.
Come for me.
So your dad passed when you were what year?
2002.
Right, so your dad passed when you were 12.
Mm-hmm.
Things became tougher because he passed?
Infinitely tougher.
Right.
Like, absolutely tougher.
What's the thing that makes you think back? Give me an example of a thing that makes you think back and think that was a tough period after my dad passed.
I was just getting into secondary school. Like, the future was bright. I was such a bright kid. Mm. I passed all the exams I wrote. I remember them trying to get me to write more exams, and like, just in case. So I have options. And I just told my aunt that I was going to pass any exam I write. Like, don't try to make me write all the exams, because if I write it, I'll pass it.
Right.
That's how, like, intelligent I was. Yeah. So my dad was so proud of me. He came to the school to pay my lesson fee. That's my last and favorite memory of him. Came to pay my lesson fee, and he was like, you know, you're going to go to the best school. You know, we were just excited for that. He just died, like, unprovoked. So I had to face this new stage of my life, going to boarding house without my daddy. My mom was in her morning clothes when she went to drop me off at school. On the first day of school, I literally still remember. I mean, people wear black when she wore white.
Right.
Like, it's so bad. I remember the smell. My mom is this very strong figure. She's even physically tall. So she has this confidence. And I watched this very confident woman break down into almost nothing.
And I'm sorry about his passing.
Yeah.
So what was the thing that eventually made her decide that she had to leave?
Well, she planned to leave the entire time.
So she kept trying.
Oh yeah, so it was she played the long game.
Right.
She said she was going to leave, and she's my inspiration, man. She told us she was going to do it, and she did it. It wasn't that she kept trying and failing. Okay. She didn't want to go there and fail. So she started building the blocks, she joined Girls Guide, you know, all these groups that would expose her to more people. You know, whenever there was an opportunity to go for a summer camp, she would volunteer. So she truly just like planned the long game.
All right, so this 8 years were 8 years of getting ready for this leaving.
Yeah, with some setbacks in between, obviously.
Right. So when she left, who did she leave you guys with?
Ourselves. I have an older brother and an older sister.
Oh, you do, right?
Yeah. My older sister automatically became our mom, I guess.
Yeah.
But me, I was already independent at the time anyway, so...
Because we were working at the time.
I was doing things. I didn't have, my job wasn't paying me a salary.
Right.
So I was doing odd jobs. I have an uncle who honestly saw me through that period. He had this 20K every month while he's paying his staff salary. He'll just remember that, oh, he has one knee, so that's, it's kind of suffering in Benin. Just dropped like 20K. And that 20K really did a lot. Because for a long time, my mom was unable to send money. When she sends, when she makes a lot of money, like a lot is, when she makes the money she's
she
making.
She makes more money than she usually
yeah,
makes.
Yeah, she'll send it and then me and my siblings will share it.
That's when she was abroad.
Abroad. Right. So she's sending it in dollars, which is a good thing. At yes, least Nigeria yeah. was crumbling, exchange rates.
Yeah.
So it would favor us a little bit yeah. and then we'd have some money at least to survive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So by this time, you say you were living in Benin. So you left Port Harcourt.
I left Port Harcourt.
Before she left, you had moved to Benin or you moved after she left?
Oh no, she moved actually right before she left because she took me to my hostel.
Okay.
She helped me set up.
Because you mentioned that you've always been saying this man was a lecturer until you just said he's a course advisor. Why were you hiding his identity as a course advisor?
I wasn't legally ready.
Right. Yeah.
I wasn't legally ready. I mean, it's easy to find out who my course advisor is. Mm. If you know the year ends at UniBen, you know the year you know that I studied biochemistry, it's kind of easy to find out who he is. I wasn't legally ready. I wanted to do it on my own time.
Right.
But yeah.
You said this was revealed without your permission.
Oh, yeah.
How? What happened?
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear that part of the story.
Oh, now we're going to another era of my life. Right. This is very, very recent, by the way.
Right, okay.
David Hunde, the journalist,
right.
In his journalism, I want to start explaining what that is. I'm not able to.
Okay.
Whether I will call it jealousy or misdirection,
right.
I'm not sure what it is. But I feel like many people know the story about Oge, a girl that we worked with on
the Sex for Grace.
On the Sex for Grace. This is even the first time I'm even like, you know, yeah, we worked with her, but for some weird reason, she believes that I have something that belongs to her.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what it is. I mean, people say it's fame.
Mm.
Oge brought me on this project.
Right.
She brought me on the project. She was supposed to be a producer. I mean, she is a producer.
Right.
She brought me on as one of the sources, and right. I went on to play a bigger role. I did research. I also co-produced, and as you watched from the film, I ended up telling my personal story as an anchor. When that dropped, I mean, how many million people have seen that? That means that my name and my face has been in front of a couple million people. So that kind of changed my status. And everything was going on well. We're friends for a very long time after Sex for Grades until like award season happened and I picked up a few. Somehow they just feel like I owe them my fame because she brought me on.
Mm.
But that's it. She keeps claiming that I stole her story. How? It's my story.
Mm.
You were not the one that was harassed by the lecturer. It was me.
So which of these made you leave Nigeria?
It was definitely that 20th of October for sure.
Yeah.
It was the day that I remember that was the day. I'd known about, you know, the global talent that allows you work everywhere.
Mm.
I was going to do it pre-pandemic anyway.
Right.
Pandemic happened. I was going to do it for the US because I just really wanted to be able to work everywhere. Yeah. Not because I'm trying to run away from Nigeria.
Right.
October 20th started with shooting in Negege.
Mm.
People don't remember that. I guess they remember the lucky one because of how it
how
went
dramatic,
down.
Yeah.
So that day was already going, like, that day was already, I was already losing my mind from the beginning. I had an interview with Aisha Sase.
Right.
I had a rule of not protesting in one place the same time. So if I protest in Ikeja, the next day I'm in Naja, the next day I'm in Berga.
Right.
And they were always warning me, like, don't come back here.
Right.
Like, you're making too many enemies. You need to be careful.
Who was always warning you? Your friends?
Different people. Right. Like, random people, man.
Yeah, who just know how Nigeria
Yeah, who
can
just
be.
Know how Nigeria can be.
Yeah.
So that morning was already crazy. Mm. And it's like, many people were calling my phone to warn me that something was going to happen.
Mm.
Calling my phone to warn me that... One person even called me, I don't know who this person is, called me that anything that happens is on my hands. Maybe I refuse to tell people to stop.
Mm.
So the day was, I was supposed to do press. I was appearing on the BBC. to tell them exactly what happened, because someone went to appear on the BBC to tell them another thing. I was like, no, this is not the same BBC. I have access.
Right.
I'll go and tell them what happened. So I did. I told them, oh, more, we're peacefully protesting, but there is no day that we don't go out and we don't hear that, oh, something happened, or they use water cannon, or somebody shot at somebody. You know, I went to like tell them facts. And then later that evening, I was supposed to have like an interview with Aisha Sese. So I went to find a quiet place to have the interview.
Right.
We're having the interview. That is when it was happening, because we had to shut the interview down halfway. We're getting like comments like they are shooting people at Lekki Toll Gate. My friend, the colleague, was at Lekki Toll Gate, so I messaged her. She said she just left, but she saw the army coming. I was like, okay. So messages like were flooding in.
Yeah.
The video is even like, I think they posted it one time. Aisha posted it, or Bella Niger, or someone posted
it. Yes. Yes.
And then I started seeing I saw a message from my friend Awazi. I didn't even read what she said. I just panicked. I was like, oh my God, no way. Yeah. I'm going to run. I'm going to lose my mind. Where is Awazi? What is going on? She was okay. She was just checking if I was okay. I was scared. I was scared, man. And that was when I started crying, because we were just living, like, the whole morning, everywhere was just like shaky. So I was in a state of anything can happen. So we had to cancel the interview. Yeah. And like I tuned into DJ Switches Live. Oof. That was the day. The next day they even told me, they called me, someone sent me video. Was it the next day or 2 days later? I can't remember. Someone sent me video of dead bodies in the water that I should come and cover. I was going to go. I couldn't leave my house. Actually, I think that was the beginning of like my anxiety that, you know, I've had anxieties in the past, but the anxiety of not being able to leave my house, not because someone is waiting outside to kidnap you or anything, or not because I'm scared. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
I just cannot open my door and go outside. So that was it. I told the person I was coming. I couldn't go. I shared to other people. If you want to carry news, these people say that outside their community, there is dead bodies in the water. Go and carry it. I can't do it. Sorry. Yeah.
We need you to subscribe, yo. And the reason is simple. The kinds of conversations, the kinds of worlds that we construct with our conversations on with Chude are driven by a vision of the kind of world I want to see. You know, you are the most important person in this entire ecosystem, you subscribing monthly. So do go ahead, subscribe. Ask somebody else to subscribe. Advise somebody else to subscribe. Refer to someone to subscribe. It matters, truly. Thank you, as we continue to be human together. I had a